2 Timothy 3:16, we find, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." In 2 Peter 1:20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." I want to talk this morning about how we got the Bible. Before we get into that, I want to echo what Brother Code said. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. I don't want to leave anybody out, so I'm not going to start except Kathy. It's so good to see you with us. And James, it's good to have you with us today. So these two verses are going to be the verses for the sermon. And I think these sum up the whole of the Bible. We've got to understand that the Bible was given by inspiration. It was not given by men. Men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was recorded, written down. And I want to talk about this because in the Wednesday evening class, when I started with that chart on the different times that the books were written and with the periods of when they were taken into captivity, there were some questions, several questions about the origin of the Bible and how it was compiled. So I thought this would be timely to take a look at this morning. I've got this material from Rose Publishing. This is the same company that made the charts that you have with the timeline. They have a lot of good information. So we're going to go through and look at how we got the Bible. We're going to start and look at some key points. The Bible is inspired by God. That is very important to know and understand. The Bible is made up of 66 different books that were written over 1,600 years from approximately 1,500 BC to AD 100 by more than 40 kings, prophets, leaders, and followers of Jesus. The Old Testament has 39 books written approximately 1,500 to 400 BC. The New Testament has 27 written approximately AD 45 to 100. The Hebrew Bible has the same text as the English Bible's Old Testament, but divides and arranges it differently. In the Old Testament, it was written mainly in Hebrew and some Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. The books of the Bible were collected and arranged and recognized as inspired sacred authority by councils of rabbis and councils of church leaders based on careful guidelines. And we'll get into this as we go on through here. Before the printing press was invented, the Bible was copied by hand. The Bible was copied very accurately, and in many cases by special scribes who they developed a special method for copying it. They would count the words in the book. They would count the letters. They had different points that they would mark to make sure that they did not want to make one mistake at all in these holy inspired scriptures. The Bible was the first book ever printed on the printing press with movable type, the Gutenberg press in 1455. That was the Latin Bible. There's a lot of evidence the Bible that we have today is remarkably true to the original writings. Of the thousands of copies made by hand before 1500, nearly 5,900 Greek manuscripts from the New Testament alone still exist today. So there are copies that men can go back and verify, and they match. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls confirm the astonishing reliability of some of the copies of the Old Testament made over the years. And we had looked at the Dead Sea Scrolls a while back. where one of the sects of the Jews had moved out away from the others, and they were living in these caves. We'll look at this briefly as we go on through there. But they had the copies of the scriptures, and they had not been discovered till years later. These were later copies, and they confirmed what was written earlier. As the Bible was carried to other countries, it was translated into the common language of the people by scholars who wanted others to know the God's word. Today, there are still 2,000 groups with no Bible in their own language. This next point, by AD 200, the Bible was translated into 7 languages. And then you see the progression. It just keeps going on all the way up to when this was printed by 2006. 2,426 languages have some portions of the scriptures. The more languages there are, the more of a need for another translation. This is from the World Christian Encyclopedia. So, the Old Testament. How is the Old Testament written? Well, Exodus 31, we know portions of it were written on stone. Ezekiel 4, we know that part of the Old Testament was written on clay. Isaiah 30, we know that part of it was written on wood. Jeremiah 36, we know part of it was written on leather. 2 Timothy 4:13, we know that it was written on animal skins. It was written on rolls, papyrus, vellum, or parchment. So you stop and think of all of these different materials. You think about carrying around tablets of stone, pieces of clay, pieces of leather. It is nothing. We pick up our Bible and just take it for granted. And you think about the number of years written from 1500 to 400 BC, and each person is writing a book, a section, and it's going to be in some different material. The New Testament, the oldest New Testament fragment from John 18 that we have today, was copied in Greek on a papyrus codex around AD 110 to 130. Bible was copied onto papyrus. Scrolls of leather and later papyrus were used to make copies of the scriptures. A papyrus codex is bound volume made by sheets folded and sewn together, sometimes with a cover. They were used more than scrolls after AD the first 100 years, and we'll see a slide of that also. The Bible was copied onto fine animal skins from calves, from antelope, vellum, sheep or goats, parchment were used for over 1,000 years to make copies of the Bible, approximately AD 300 to 1400. You just stop and think about that. We've got 2 sheepskins at home, and I know it would have been different than what they had these on, where the ones we have still have the wool on there. But these skins, and you just think about all the time and how it would be so painstaking to copy everything and to make sure it was accurate. Well, Wycliffe Bibles were inscribed by hand on vellum in the 1400s. Some copies took 10 months to 2 years to produce and it cost a year's wage. Again, the Bible was the first book to be printed with Gutenberg's printing press in 1455. Bible is now printed on paper, many versions, many languages. The Bible is on audio recordings. It's on the internet. It's available basically to anybody, anywhere, anytime in the world. It's available to everybody. The sad news is most people don't want to open it and read it. So let's go back about 2000 BC So the events were written down in Hebrew, and again, portions of it in Aramaic. In Exodus, the Lord tells Moses to write in a book. Other Old Testament writers inspired by God wrote also. Together, these writings on leather scrolls, other materials are called the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament. So when you think about that period of time that it was written, there's going to be different materials that it was written on. 500 BC, Ezra, a scribe and priest, collects and arranges some of the books of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, about 450 BC, according to Jewish tradition. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. It translated in 250 to 100 BC by Jewish scholars in Alexandria, Egypt. And remember, as we've looked in our Wednesday night class about Egypt, and it was like one of the pinnacle of education with their libraries, their science, their medicine. The word Septuagint means 70, referring to the tradition that 70 or 72 men translated it. So back to 450 BC, according to Jewish tradition, Ezra, a priest and scribe, collects and arranges some of the books of the Hebrew Bible. When we talked about papyrus, well, I'll get to that, I see here in a minute. So 200 BC, the books are arranged by subject, historical, poetic, prophetic. And it includes the Apocrypha, meaning hidden, referring to seven books that were included in the Hebrew Bible until AD 90, when they were removed by Jewish elders. So it's 200 years BC. And remember, on our timeline, we ended like about 400 BC with the last writing, and then there is 400 years of silence before the New Testament. So about 200 years is when these were put into certain arrangements, which we'll get into that on a Wednesday evening class. But with the papyrus, that's a plant, and it was cut into strips, pressed together into sheets of writing material, and it can be made into a scroll or a codex. The New Testament books were probably first written on papyrus scrolls. Later, Christians begin to copy them on sheets of papyrus, which are bound and placed between two pieces of wood for covers. This forms an early book. This form of early book is known as codex. And I've had some slides on the illustrated slides that would show scripture, like in a case. Some of those would be from a museum. Some of those would be how they had it at the time. So just think, instead of having a Bible, you'd be walking around with this big wooden frame with the scripture in it. By the time of Jesus, Jesus quotes the Old Testament scriptures often. He says he did not come to destroy the scriptures, but to fulfill them. These are the words which I spoke to you, that all things must be fulfilled. And here we have a classification that Jesus refers to of the Old Testament, things which are in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We have the followers of Jesus, and again, many of the writers right here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, Jude, they write the Gospels, the histories, letters to Christian, the book of Revelation. And it talks about this new covenant. And these writings in Greek are copied and circulated so that by about 150, there's wide enough use of them to speak of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Covenant. This is different than the Old Covenant, the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament scrolls. God, the New Covenant, God made a promise with the people in Jeremiah 31, It's referred to by Jesus and Paul, and later in the book of Hebrews. AD 200, the Old Testament Apocrypha, evidence derived from the first century writers indicates that the Hebrew canon did not include the Apocrypha. So again, you'll see some religions have these books included, but they were not recognized as part of God's inspired word. Church fathers accept the writings of the Gospels and Paul's lessons as canonical, from a Greek word referring to the rule of faith and truth, the canon, a canon. This is the same thing, just with another photo or slide. St. Matthew's Gospels, approximately 900, a copy of illustration with that. AD 300, the New Testament books are collected and circulated throughout the Mediterranean about the time of Constantine, the Roman emperor who legalizes Christianity in 313. And think, before this, the Romans were persecuting the Christians. The Romans were putting them to death, feeding them to the lions, lighting up the streets with them. By 400, the standard of 27 New Testament books is accepted in the East and West and confirmed by these three church councils. The Latin Vulgate. Jerome starts translating scriptures into Latin in 382 and finishes 23 years later. This translation, called the Latin Vulgate, remains basic Bible for many centuries. And I think, going through these, one of the things, you know, this is what we have in our minds. This book right here is what we think of with the Bible. But depending on what part of history, what continent you were on, what language you spoke, it was still God's inspired word, but it may be a bunch of scrolls or a book made out of papyrus or on some animal skin. What it's written on does not matter. What matters is that it is the word of God. AD 500, Roman Empire declines. Germanic migrations cause new languages to emerge. The Masoretes are special Jewish scribes entrusted with the task of copying the Hebrew scriptures. They develop a meticulous system of counting the number of words in each book of the Bible to make sure they've copied it accurately. Any scroll found to have an error is buried according to Jewish law. I've read that it was buried. I've also read that it was burned. Either way, whichever way it was, if they made a mistake, they weren't going to leave that copy laying around. It was so important that they either buried it, burned it, they got rid of it. In the 1600s, we see a lot of translations coming out just as civilization changes. AD 1300, Normans conquer England. 1066, make French the official language. No English translation work produced until 1300s. Now, this little Battle of the Hastings, That's not on the Rose chart, but I stuck that in because of 1066. One of my brothers at one point, there's only three of us left now, he said we should go over to England and visit the homeland where that battle took place. But again, the Battle of Hastings, fought on 14th October 1066 between Norman French army of William Duke of Normandy and an English army under a different king. This began the conquering over there. Middle English emerges, popularized by such as the Canterbury Tales, which used to be a name recognized in school. First English Bible is translated from Latin in 1382. So again, I mean, that's what people spoke, was Latin. The Romans, they spoke Latin. It's called the Wycliffe Bible in honor of priest and Oxford scholar John Wycliffe. During his time, Wycliffe wanted common people to have the Bible. He also criticized a number of church practices and policies. His followers included his criticism in the preface to the Wycliffe Bible. This Bible is banned and burned. 40 years after Wycliffe's death, his bones are exhumed and burned for heresy. So they didn't like him. They wanted to get rid of any trace of him. 1408 in England, it becomes illegal to translate or read the Bible in common English without permission of a bishop. So they wanted control of the Bible. They didn't want people reading it for themselves. World's first printing press, invented 1455. This invention is perhaps the single most important event to the influence the spread of the Bible. So now it can be mass produced. It can be produced in different languages. The Gutenberg Bible is the first book ever printed. This Latin Vulgate version is often illustrated by artists who hand paint letters and ornaments on each page. So you see these little squiggly scrolls and flowers and things around the border on the page. They like to decorate it. 1500, Erasmus, a priest and Greek scholar, publishes a new Greek edition and a more accurate Latin translation in 1516. His goal is that everyone be able to read the Bible, from the farmer in the field to the weaver at the loom. He wanted to make the Bible where people could understand it. Erasmus' Greek text forms the basis of the Textus Receptus and is used later by Martin Luther, William Tyndale, and the King James translators. So you see, over time, just the progression and the evolution of the development, not of the Word of God, not of the Word, because the Word does not change, but how this Bible has been composed and put together. Martin Luther translates the New Testament into German in 1522. William Tyndale, priest, Oxford scholar, translates the New Testament from Greek, but he cannot get approval to publish it in England. So he translates it, but they won't let him publish it. So he moves to Germany and prints Bibles and then smuggles them into England in sacks of corn and flour. In 1535, he publishes part of the Old Testament translated from Hebrew. 1536, Tyndale is strangled and burned at the stake. His final words are, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." It's interesting, I find it interesting how that people, and rightfully so, went to great lengths to accurately copy and translate the Bible, and then there are powers that be that didn't want them to do that. There were powers, you see this basic battle between good and evil. There has always been this evil that does not want God's word to the common man where he can read it and understand it. And some still don't want the common man to read it and understand it. You got to ask somebody else what this means. Tyndale is called the father of the English Bible because his translation forms the basis of the King James Version. Much of the style and vocabulary we know as biblical English is traceable to his work. We've got the Coverdale Bible, 1535, Matthew's Bible, more translations, the Great Bible, 1539. It's placed in every church by the order of Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop under King Henry VIII. This Bible is chained to the church pillars to discourage theft. And I've read different accounts on this also. This one saying it was read or chained to discourage theft. The story behind that, when a lot of these Bibles were worth a lot of money, very expensive, worth about a year's wages, and some say that they were chained there because they didn't want common people reading them. Some say they were chained there because they didn't want them stolen and somebody taking it and selling to somebody else and getting money for it. Queen Mary bans Protestant translations of the English Bible. John Rogers and Thomas Cranmer are burned at the stake. Later, some 300 men, women, and children are also burned. It's crazy. People wanting to print God's word, and they're burned at the stake. Bishop's Bible, a new translation under Queen Elizabeth, 1568. The Reims-Douay Bible, translated into English from the Latin Vulgate by the Catholic scholar Gregory Martin while in exile in France. That becomes the standard translation in the Catholic Church. 1600, the King James Version, or authorized version. King James of England commissions 54 scholars to undertake a new Bible translation. Over the next 6 years, six teams of scholars using the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's Bible, as well as Greek and manuscripts, Hebrew manuscripts, complete the new version in 1611. The King James Version, also called the Authorized Version, even though King James never gave the final finished version his royal approval, is revised several times. So when people say something about, do you have the authorized King James Bible, that's just silly. The only authorization we need is it true to the original text? This edition used today was revised in 1769. It's the most popular Bible for more than 300 years. The revised version, 1885, scholars in England decided to revise the King James Version to reflect findings from the manuscripts. The goal is to use better Hebrew and Greek text and to retranslate words based on new linguistic information about ancient Hebrew. And right after the King James was published, within the next year, I think there is like about 300 or 400 revisions they made in it. Small revisions, but just to make it easier to understand, there are a few things where they still have it wrong in there. King James talks about Jesus going to hell. Jesus never went to hell. He went to Hades. It's a mistranslation of the word. He went to Hades when he talked to the thief on the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's Hades, not in hell. And the King James talks about Easter instead of the Passover, a mistranslation. Again, from the influence of the Catholic Church, those are changed in the new King James. But again, whatever version it is, the older versions stay as they are. The Dead Sea Scrolls, found in a cave in 1947 by a shepherd, contain the oldest known copies of portions of the Old Testament. So this little shepherd boy that was out looking for his lost sheep stumbled into this cave, and it's one of the biggest finds of time. And these scrolls, because of where they were located in these caves, were like in mint condition. And so much of it, these were written, and proves that what was written earlier was accurate. And it has made a lot of confirmation on the Bible. So we look at all of these translations. How did we get the Bible? Well, it started back stone, mud, wood, leather, papyrus, skins, goat skins, you think about it, just about anything you can think of that could be written on, the Bible was written on. And then it was assembled, a large part of the Old Testament, by Ezra. He was a scribe. He would have taken what he had before him. And then we have more of a way to prove from the cross going forward how it was assembled, because that's in a shorter timeline, about 100 years instead of 1,000 years of where the books were written before. And we come up today. So again, this is how it came about, how it was put together. But the things we need to take away, that it is inspired. It is the inspired word of God. It is inerrant. What it says is true. What it tells us to do, we must do. And in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it wasn't written by men. It was written by men that were moved by the Holy Spirit. No prophecy is of private interpretation. That means it was not revealed by my think so. They didn't write what they wanted the doctrine or whatever to be. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, the biggest challenge today is to get people back to the Word of God. They love their Bible. Oh, I got my mama's Bible, I got my daddy's Bible, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've got my mama's Bible, and it's a treasure to me, but I need to treasure what God says more than who owned the Bible, and then I need to be busy doing it. When we were talking about the Pharisee and the publican, and again, most people think, well, I'm a good person. I'm not like these people out in the world. Those people out in the world, look at them. They're the bad ones. Well, we need to read the Bible to see how we measure up and what our heart is like. And again, the story of the Bible, it's the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring glory to God. It's about the Messiah is coming. He came, he died, he went to heaven, and he's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back to deliver us up to heaven. And how do we get in to the church? All of those cases of conversion, all of those cases of getting into the kingdom are recorded in the book of Acts. And if we want to get into the kingdom, we need to do what they did. Just like Nicodemus, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must be born again. He mentions that 3 times. That's just an aside to part of the Bible. How we got the Bible? Friends, we got to understand the Bible is preserved down through all of these years. The Bible is the infallible, inspired word of God. The Bible is what we are going to be judged on. It's not what I think. It's not what I feel. Jesus said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Friends, God has gone to great lengths to preserve this word for us today, here in 2024. It's up to us to obey it, because one day we'll have to stand before the judge and give an account of what we did. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth thee now to come.